Happy Friday, Rush Hour listeners.
Yes, Fat, it's another special Friday podcast for the Rush Hour family. You'll hear about my disastrous experience when I drove a borrowed ute under this building.
And don't forget, JB, there's a time you dirtied up when you weren't recognised. Plus, I've got another Friday fruity joke, Jim.
But now, ahead of Spuds game this Saturday night, we need to just point to something we're going to do tomorrow on The Rub.
JB and Bill, this is a Friday edition of the Rush Hour podcast on the Listener app.
Now, Fat, yep. Tomorrow night is Spuds game, Melbourne and St Kilda at the Marvel Stadium.
Yep.
Brilliant what they're doing with Spud.
Initiative.
Obviously a legend of the St Kilda Football Club, the Spud Regis, then went on and coached to Richmond. But his playing career, number two, you would have played a lot against him. He was as hard as a coffin nail.
He was indeed. And he used to play on Ablett.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Let me tell you, did he have a good record on Gary Ablett? I reckon he had the best record ever on Gary Ablett.
Well, he used to now. He put a lot of mayo on stories, Spud.
Yeah,
so he didn't quite know what to believe and what he'd sort of added to.
Yeah.
But he insisted that there was a game at Moorabbin or I think Waverley? Actually Geelong where he was playing on the great Gary Ablett.
Yep.
They go down to start the game. They start punching on before the game
wrestling,
even started.
Wrestling,
top of the goal square.
Yeah.
Quick clearance for the Cats.
Yep.
Long ball down into the forward line for Geelong, and the ball hit Gary Ablett in the back of the head.
On the head.
Yep. While neither of them were watching the ball.
That's Gary used to try and wrestle him, and you know
and
how strong. Because he's from out the Bunnyong there, of course, and the Spuds and the bags of Spuds. Yep. He was very, very strong. So the worst thing Gary could do was wrestle with him.
But it was the ego of the two of them.
Yeah, it was. And they played juniors together on the wing and things like that because Spud was quite quick.
He was a runner. Yeah,
he was. And, mate, they used to wrestle. So don't worry about that for the 2 minutes of wrestling. It was the 10 minutes after it.
Yeah, neither of them were worth a pinch off.
Trying to grab their breath.
Yeah, exactly.
And I used to run over there and I go, I'm not getting involved
no
in this. So get out of here, Bill. But
where
would
they come from? Out of Ballarat. What was it called? Where they had the McGuans and
the
bloody
Springbank or no, just down the road from Springbank.
We'll get to it anyway. But so a legend of a man, Spud. And so tomorrow in the Saturday Rub, we're going to replay so many funny things that we actually filled nearly 3 hours of a show with it a couple of years
ago. Fantastic.
When the great man passed. But this one we left out only because we just didn't have room for it all. And it was when, where is it? By the way, Rabbits, you got the name of the joint?
Is it Bungaree?
Bungaree. Just outside of Ballarat. Cold too there. Real cold.
Ballarat's cold, but I think it's colder.
Bungaree.
Yeah.
Now, so anyway, I don't know what he was. He was asked to get on stage and introduce the great Tony Lockett because he was either going to be a legend of the St Kilda Footy Club or it was a Saints function anyway.
Yeah.
So the great plugger, now he's going to be there tomorrow, by the way. He's coming down
fantastic
for Spud's game, which I think is brilliant. But he has come all the way from Barrel in New South Wales to front up and be given this amazing honour by the St Kilda Footy Club. And Spud, all Spud had to do was get an introduction
done
and then stand back and allow plugger to come up and speak.
Spot on.
Spud got 8 seconds into it.
8 words.
He said, is the Don Bradman of our game?
Oh.
He said, no, that's it, I'm done.
Yes.
And he couldn't go on anymore because he started crying.
He did.
Blubbering.
Emotional, man.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He started crying.
So we had the audio of it. And Spud, if anything went wrong for Spud, he got physical, didn't he?
He did.
The only way he could respond was by clubbing someone. So we went into the footy show and, I'd like to throw Gary under the bus and say it was Gary, but
might have been you.
Might have been me.
Oh,
I said we got to play this.
Yeah.
And so, and I said, Force, you're going to have to take over and you're going to have to run this bit of audio where we're going to play us, Spud. Yeah. And as you know with Sam, he had no idea what was on the show ever.
No, exactly.
So he said yes, but didn't even listen.
I'll go with it. Whatever's good for the show, he would have said, Sam.
Yep. So we got to the spot on the show and Sam had forgotten we'd even had the conversation and had no idea what we were about to play. Anyway. So we hit play, and there's Spud standing up on stage. Is it Don Bradman of our game?
Yeah.
That's it, I've lost it, and started crying and walked off. Sam, watching the vision for the first time live on the footy show, said, well, that's a character flaw.
Exactly what he said, a character flaw.
Anyway, Gary, I, Fats over the other side, we're all looking at each other going, this isn't going to go well.
Yeah,
this is the old Spud's not going to like this.
A character flaw.
He's branded it a character flaw. So we didn't have any contact with Spud, any of us, did we, for a day and a half?
No, heard nothing.
And he normally rang us 10 times
a
day.
Which is unusual.
He hadn't rung any of us. So on the way to the Saturday Rub, I said to Gaz, I think he's cracked him.
Yeah, not happy.
Properly cracked him.
Yep.
And I think the only way we can get this back is to throw force straight under the bus. So we got there to the meeting.
You're all solid, you bloke.
We got there to the meeting at 11:30, and I made sure I got there first. Yeah, yeah. And I walked in. I said, "Spud, I had nothing to do with that audio. Yes. I had nothing to do with it. Sam had heard about it. He demanded we play it. I argued we shouldn't play it.
Oh, geez.
Anyway, and Spud's looking at me, half believing me, but half knowing I'm not to be believed. But anyway, he's sitting back. He's still not happy. Gaz walks in 2 minutes later. Yeah. Spud had nothing to do with me. I didn't want that audio played.
Yep.
Anyway, so he didn't know, Spud, that we had teed up Sam to ring in and apologise to him on air for playing the audio.
The false rang in. This is right, I guess.
He rang into the Saturday Pro.
Pretending he was crook.
Anyway, I'm not giving the rest away. No, you need to listen to the Saturday Rub tomorrow, fantastic. But I'm telling you, it is liquid gold, rabbits.
On the brand new Listener app, that's Listener without the E's. You can listen anytime, anywhere. This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Bill and a special Friday edition podcast.
Now, Fat, I've been lent a Toyota Ute from a mate. And I said, mate, brilliant, thank you. A couple of days I need it for a specific reason, and it is a fantastic 70 series.
70?
So you know the old diesel ute all the not only tradies but farmers, the magnificent old Land Cruiser ute.
That's it.
Anyway, it's got the two big sort of roll cages on the back of the tray.
Yes.
You know, those white things. Anyway, so I'm driving in here, work, during the week.
Work.
Fat?
Yeah.
I'm on the phone.
Oh, no.
Just as I come down into the car park here underneath. Anyway, so I'm coming in minding my own business. Never occurred to me that I'd have any issues.
Oh, no.
And then, of course, the overpass where the air conditioning vents are in those things. In fact, I reckon comfortably I'm doing 4Ks an hour. Ooh. I'm crawling through.
Unlike you.
Yeah, exactly. But it's for a start, it's not my car. And secondly, it's an old diesel. So I'm like, I'm just crawling through. Bang!
Hit the aircon.
It's got these spike things that come up off the top of the roll bars.
Oh, yeah.
Like these little metal spike things.
Yeah.
Bang! So what do I do? It frightened the living shit out of me.
Because it's a lot louder then, isn't it?
And I'm thinking, what have I hit? I can't hit anything. There's nothing in front of me. Not my car.
Yes.
So I tell you, what do you do when that happens
to you? Stop.
Well, you stop, and then what do you do?
Get out of your car.
No, you go forward.
No.
Bang! Hit the back ones as well.
No, don't. Jeez, you're
I hit two sets of these spikes.
Did they get through, or?
Well, then I got underneath, and then I've looked up, and I've seen two more. So I'm like, well, I can't keep driving because I'm just going to keep hitting them.
Yeah.
So I had to go sort of 45 degrees sideways. Thank Christ there wasn't a car there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I managed to sneak through on the 45.
Yeah.
Because on the other side, it's higher.
It is higher.
So then I got no problems.
I know where you are, exactly.
But the first side.
You got to get out.
So now what am I going to say to my mate?
But you got to get out also. How did you get out?
Well, no, I haven't got out yet.
Because you got to get out, Toby.
So, Fat, what am I going to say to my mate when I hand his ute back?
I'd just drop it off and say, good on you, mate, no worries. And walk away, Jim. He won't know. They're only little
welded things. These spike things, Fat, are heading back. Instead of heading straight up, they're now heading back behind the truck.
Get a hammer. Just a bit of a whack. He won't. So when you drop the ute off, he's not going to come out and look over it, is he?
Oh, my God.
No, you're right. You'll get away with it.
No, I have to be honest. You can't. You've got to be honest.
No, not
with
little.
I have to tell him.
Not with little things like that, Jim. You can get away with that. I'll just park the ute, throw him the keys. Thanks, mate.
Oh, and, my God.
Catch up next week, eh?
Here we are. We're getting a snapshot into the mind of Fat. You've smashed his tray on his ute,
mate,
and now you just hand it back and everything's all right.
I honestly would get a hammer, whack him back a bit, and then just drop it off. He would not know, Jim. He would not have a clue. So,
anyway. A memo to self.
Yes.
Check the height of your truck before you head into our
Harrodon Street Bridge. You haven't been under there
yet. No, I'm not going under there. Well, not. I'm just handing it back, Fat, and that'll do. No more.
It's a Rush Hour. Triple M. on the brand new Listener app, which is where you are listening to this Friday edition of the Rush Hour podcast. This is JB and Billy.
So I'm with Elise on Sunday, and we go down to the True South, beautiful down there.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice pub on the beach, Black Rock.
Oh, nice.
So I slide down there on quite often on a Sunday. The lamb shoulder is elite.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my idiot older brother rings me. What are you doing? I said, actually, Elise and I are just at Black Rock having a one off the wood.
Well,
he goes, well, we're coming down. He said, no. He's playing golf. He's caught behind four or five groups of four that were not budging. And he said, it's starting to rain and I'm not completing the 18 holes.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming down. We'll have a glass of wine with you. I said, yeah, sweet. Who are you with? He said, Angus. I said, righto. See you down there. Where he was playing golf was only just up the road.
Yep.
So I walk into the True South pit because we're out the front and I'm ordering a couple of beers. And I see this young fella dressed top to toe in Melbourne gear.
Mm.
So he's got Melbourne jumper, Melbourne shorts, Melbourne footy socks. He would have been about 8 or 9, I reckon.
Ah, lovely.
So anyway, his mum and dad are there. He's sitting there. I'm standing there waiting to be served. And I turn to this young fella. I said, how are you, mate? He goes, I'm good, thanks. Very polite young man.
Mm.
I said, there's someone coming down here in about 5 minutes who you'll be very happy to see. He goes, who's that? I said, who wears number 10 for Melbourne? He goes, Angus Brayshaw. I said, yeah.
Geez, well, he's onto it.
Yep. He's on his way down here. You'll be able to have a photo with him, say hello. And his eyes lit up.
Oh, bang.
Yeah, out on beanstalks.
Mm.
Anyway, so I thought, good. He'll have a good time. That's good for the young fella. I haven't moved because the people in front of me were getting served. He turns to his dad.
And says.
He goes, how does he know Angus Brayshaw? Lisa's parked behind me. She goes.
You automatically thought that.
Sucked in.
He knew who you were, Jim. He's 8, Jim. How's he going to know who you are?
I don't care. I just knew that my better half would find that very
amusing.
Funny. Sucked in, she reckons.
Good on her.
I said, he's fine. It's no problem. He goes, no. She said, no, you'll be upset. You'll think he should have known who you were. I said, no, I didn't.
Well, you are entitled, Jim. You're entitled. That's what you are.
Anyway, it made me think, Fat, because this kid was completely, when Gussie got down there, completely starstruck.
Yeah.
Like he almost couldn't get any words out. Had the photo talking about his favourite player and all the rest of it. Anyway, I'd gone back out the front having a
glass
of wine. Gus
had the helmet off?
No, he had the helmet off. But it made me think. I remember being at the airport, Fat. I reckon I was about 13 or 14. Yeah. And the Australian cricket team, so that would have been early 80s, 81, 82, around there.
Superstars.
Australian cricket team were going through the airport.
Yep.
Now, Greg Chappell, a man I've become actually bloody good mates with, but that stage didn't know at all, but he was my hero.
Yep.
Remember he had the beard?
Yes.
Back in the late part of his career, he had the beard. So he looked regal.
Regal.
And Bill, he was the Australian captain and the best player, and I wanted to bat like him.
Yep.
I wanted to stand at the crease like him.
The scoop.
He was my hero. So Dad, of course, as you know, had played lots of cricket for many years for WA with Rod Marsh and Dennis Lilly and Kim Hughes. So I knew all of them.
Yeah.
They couldn't give a stuff about any of them. The one man I wanted to meet was Greg Chappell.
Yeah.
So I'm standing back, minding my own business. He came over and he said, hello, you're Sticks' son, are you?
Yeah. Oh.
And I, you know, because obviously Dad had played against him for years.
Yeah.
You're Sticks' son. I've given it that. Bill, I couldn't get any words out. He said, you're going to Pembroke in Adelaide?
Yeah.
I couldn't get the bloody vocal cords to work.
I know what it's like, Jim, don't worry. I know how you feel.
He must have walked away going, geez, Sticks of kids no good.
I think
he's underwhelming.
I think he rang up Sticks and said, I think your kids are mute.
What's wrong with your kids?
He's a mute. He can't talk. He can't
get any words out. Oh, it's the only time in my life when I've been legitimately starstruck. I couldn't speak.
Well, I'm just trying to think if I have. Well, Kerry Packer was in a room and he walked in one day.
He's scary.
Well, he's big.
Yes.
Well, he was big. He's a big man, like big barrel chested.
Oh, yeah.
And you knew, you heard all those stories about him and all that. And he walked in and you didn't even see him walk in, but you knew he was in the room. You just felt the presence, mate. Oh, he was. Scary.
Yes. Yeah. What about you, Bartholomew? Have you ever been starstruck meeting anyone?
Warnie, when he came in, I was working at Sportsmart, and I had a cricket ball and couldn't actually ask him, and he just grabbed it and signed it for me. Nope. But now you see him everywhere.
No, but he's a legitimate global superstar, Warnie, so that's a fair starstruck.
Reminds me, Jim, down the pub last Saturday, and Simo and Barry Stoneham come in.
Nara
was there, and Bazza. And this bloke was in there with a Geelong jumper he wanted signed. So I'd signed it. I said, Sean Simpson, you want his? He played 123 games. He looks at me and goes, nah.
Narrow.
And I go, Barry Stoneham, one of the greats for the Cats. He looks at me and goes, nah. And I was the only one that signed it. And they took
off. He wanted
off.
Your signature over Barry Stoneham.
Over Barry Stoneham and poor old Narrow.
So Fats just telling a story about himself.
Yeah. A bit of Wayne Carey.
There you have. You've gone straight down Duck Street.
It's a rush hour, Triple M. JB and Bill, this has been a Friday edition of the Rush Hour podcast on the Listener app.
All right. Now, what happens Friday with the joke is Bill likes to work a little blue, a little ripe.
Yes.
Fruity.
And Bill.
Yes,
Jim. In these times, we need to be just mindful.
Thank you, Jim.
All right.
We got a warning.
Billy! Oh, no. Billy, won't you tell Bill's not happy. You're not funny, man. At least not on
purpose. Was that it? Goffey would be still happy with that plan. Hey, now, a patient, Jim.
Yes.
Was in the doctor's office.
Yes.
The other day. The doctor walked in and he said, you're going to have to stop masturbating. Oh. The patient said, why? The doctor said, I'm trying to examine you.
Oh, no. Oh, Bill. Jim. You can't be telling Jim. That. Oh, that's Jim. Not a probe.
Mate, the doctor's trying to do his job.
We certainly don't need to repeat it. Oh, I'm looking through the glass here. I'm seeing some magnificent Triple M employees.
I see who liked it.
Hose Mary?
Yes!
She's not She thinks it's inappropriate.
She's on the floor.
Oh.
She is on the floor. She loves it.
That's not a nice way to finish the week.
Poor old doctor's doing his job, Jim. Oh. And old...
Oh, come on. Chud it, turn him off. That'll do us on a Friday.
What do you think of that, Bill?
Oh, don't bring her up either, bro.
Oh, my God.
We've gone off half cock. Well, nearly.